Pulling up links. Tech show. Pulling up links. Tech show.
Hey, pull my finger. No, just kidding. Hi, everybody. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show, along with Dan and Alan. And this is going to be our historic. Dan's over there doing, like, fellatio to the mic or something. I don't know. Our historic.
Hysteronic.
Hysteronic even. 48th episode. 48th show. It's a really big show.
And only historic because of...
Because we've only done 48 once.
Then that means our first show was historic, and our 39th show was historic.
Yeah, but you know, it's more historic than those because you know we've already done those and this is brand new. But we're doing some other nifty stuff too.
Yeah, but it can't be historic if it's brand new.
Well, why not?
Doesn't that imply history?
Well, by the time they listen to it, it's historic because we've done it 7 seconds ago.
But then, what's the difference in history? What's the difference in the value between being 7 seconds old and 72 days old?
Because I said so. Anyway, we got some other cool stuff going on, too. This is the very first time
headphones are hot.
That I'm not 15 seconds behind.
This is the very first time that everybody is listening to the stream at the exact same time over here. We finally got... a little rig going on so that we can all hear each other and the microphones at the same time. So Alan can listen and hear himself that he's, you know, not talking in the microphone. And Dan doesn't hear all the jokes a couple seconds later and all that fun stuff, you know. Dan's mics aren't screeching, or Dan's earplugs aren't screeching into the microphone.
Yeah, not yet. Wait, hold on. I can bring it over here.
Hello.
That's not good.
It's not doing it. I hope you guys are hearing the show then.
No, it is going through. Hello? I'm recording it over here.
Oh, okay.
Hello? Well, that doesn't sound good at all.
Hello? Maybe we should ask how the show sounds.
Didn't
hello?
We do those?
Hello?
Dan, we disconnected those before, didn't we?
Huh?
God. We disconnected those headphones before.
No, but I reconnected them into there.
Oh. Maybe you're just, you know, did it wrong.
So we could be having technical difficulties that we wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, I asked him, and I haven't heard any response back on IRC.
Maybe because nobody's listening.
In the interim, while we're waiting for a response... Oh, James says, sounds great. Okay. Well, while we're waiting for...
Waiting for nothing, really,
I'm going to play our little promo, Doohickey and Ruby.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow.
Send money.
How do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there. Tech Show.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Tech Show, and I play that. Why? Because I can.
Once again, flexing your asshole.
That's right. So there. If
me,
you don't
me,
like
me.
It,
mine.
That's right.
Me, me, me.
Me, me,
mine,
me,
mine,
me.
Mine.
Anyway, what's going on today, guys?
The horror show at work.
Oh, wait. We forgot to make another another indication of how special this show is. This is the first show we have ever done on a flat wrestling table.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Brand new wrestling table.
Brand new wrestling
table. Courtesy of Link's wallet.
That's right.
Clean, dust-free.
And finally put my money where my mouth was.
It's not chipping off.
By golly, it's freaking
beautiful.
The
lead-based paint isn't killing anybody's brain cells.
Yeah, but now we actually have
But the dog still poops under it.
We now have to go out and, like, jump through the other wrestling table to make it official.
I'm taking the pictures. You throw Alan through the table, through the old table. It probably won't take much. You know, you just push it a little bit and it'll cave right in.
But, dun, dun, dun. It's a nice table.
Dun, 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 dun. It's awesome. This is so cool. I mean, you listeners just don't understand. It's been 50 weeks, right? Where, like, my laptop has been wobbling from corner to corner.
And the mics have been falling
and
over.
The mics slide off and fall over and stuff while you're talking. You got to kind of hang on to them, you know. You're holding on to cables and cords and microphones in your toes, trying to keep everything steady while we're talking. And now everything's nice and flat and smooth and pretty.
Now, so you're not here during the week when I got to lean over the table to get something that's fallen in the back, and I pray that it's not going to break and impale me through the splinters. I'll be laying there. That would be the end of it.
The dog would come over and poop on you.
What I kept noticing was, like, as I was sitting under the table on this side, you know, on the old wrestling table, is that it kept getting a lot closer and closer and closer to my leg until I was just starting to ride on the top of them, you know, in the chair. So I figured at that point it might be a good idea to get one that was flat all the way across. That would be pretty good, man.
It's hot up here tonight.
It is very warm, but then it always is.
Yeah, at least you got the air blowing on you. I'm stuck over here in the inferno.
The inferno.
You're on the poo side.
Oh, yeah, on the poo side. You just need some maggots to kind of make it. You know, and speaking of poo, here we go.
Can't have an episode without the poo. Here we go.
I got a few things I could talk about. It's not technology related, but last night we went to the fair, free night at the Allentown Fair. You guys, I guess you talked about you're going to be going this weekend, right?
This weekend, yeah.
To the concert. When you get a ticket, do you still have to buy and pay entrance into the fair?
I have no clue, to be honest with you. I haven't been to the Allentown Fair in 10 years, probably, at least.
Now you don't even know what the Allentown Fair is.
I haven't been to the Allentown Fair in 11 years, and I've been here 11 years. So
there you go. So you've never
been
there.
I've been here 10 years. Then.
Were you there the first year?
No.
No, not the first year of the fair. It's been going on a long time.
I have this thing about, you know, large crowds of people, and normally I hate everybody, so I just try to stay
away. We go every year, especially on the free night, and it's fun. You get that. You know, look at the freaks and everything.
You see, now that's what my wife said, too, when I mentioned that to her. I said, I've never gone to the fair, and, you know, we've lived here for 10 years. She says, oh, you're not missing anything. It's a freak show. It's the first thing that came out of your mouth, too.
There's a collection. It's kind of funny, because back in the day, I got two stories about this. When I used to work with kids, it was interesting because...
It's a scary thought, huh?
one of my client's sisters, I saw a couple years later working one of the ticket booths at the fair. So she moved on to the carny life.
Carnies.
And I actually met another family I worked for. They were carny people. The guy's father operated the game stands, a bunch of game stands.
Carny people.
And, I mean, these people were really nice. And, you know, they weren't like the carny people with the missing teeth and fingers and everything. They were like... They were
the carny people with the extra fingers.
No, they were the carny people that looked like everybody else, you and I. And we got free passes to go on all the rides. And the kid that I was working with at the time was autistic. And he loved to ride the rides. But there's a ride there called the Zipper.
Uh-huh.
And what it is just this cage that's on this like oval-shaped arm. And it spins around, kind of like a Ferris wheel, but on an oval track, and then this cage swings around, so it really whips the heck out of you. And what they don't tell you when you get on there is when you get in there, and they push this big heavy weight against you, or padding and everything, you got to actually hold your hands up on the roof of the car, because when this thing spins, your whole body just goes, and you go head first into the ceiling. Well, this kid, being autistic, didn't realize that. And he just kept going boom, 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 banging his head on the ceiling. So I was sitting there with my one hand on the ceiling and my other hand on this kid's head trying to hold it down. He was freaking out, and you can't stop the ride
right
once you get on it. Oh, it was a nightmare. But anyway, we went to the fair last night, and we always end the fair. And no matter what time we end the fair at, it's such a hassle to get the kids back to the car because you got to walk like 4 or 5 blocks minimum. And, you know, they're always like, ah, crying and whining, and they're fighting over the stroller. And
yeah, Carolyn, you know, was saying tonight they had to park out on the streets.
You always have to park out. Well, unless you're going to pay to park.
Well,
if we're going to go to free night, we sure as hell ain't going to pay to park.
That's true.
That's too expensive. Well, anyway, we were over there at the fair, and we always end it by going through the livestock displays.
Alan, stop that.
Yeah, the livestock displays. And do you grow up on a farm? No, you didn't grow up on a farm.
No, I grew up next to a lot of them, though.
Next to a lot of them. Did you get to hang out with the livestock and stuff?
Sure.
Now, see, I didn't grow up near a farm or on a farm, so I enjoy going to see the livestock, because it's fun to sit there and you stare at the roosters, and they get all ticked off, and you can see the animals. And, you know, the sheep with their big, man, they got some big cojones hanging down. And it's like, holy mackerel. But the one.
Dan, you're worrying me. You're checking out the sheep. Yeah.
The one group of animals.
They call me a redneck.
One group of animals I like the best are the pigs. There's always something going on in the pig pens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. They're loud. They're boisterous. They're bossy. They're pushy. And they, too, they got these big bulldog cojones that hang off, and they mash them up against the fence.
Let me ask you a question, though. Are these like the little I'm trying to win an award show pigs at the fair, or are these like the big-ass normal pigs?
These are hogs, man. These are
the big ones.
The big ones.
300-400 pounds.
Yeah, these are the big ones.
Let me tell you how much a barrel of laughs they are once you jump in a pen with one day.
No, I know. I'm not going to be they're good to watch, but I certainly want to be
fun
in there.
To watch.
But yesterday, there was this one laying against the fence.
It's like being pushed by a Mack truck, and they bite, too.
And he had his whole back against the fence, and his big sack was hanging out the back. And I said to myself, I just got to know, is it solid? So I gave it a poking. And it is solid the whole way. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But you want to hear a good story? What this happened
a few
years ago.
I don't think
you
can take another one of your good stories.
this is a different one.
This is experimentation with pigs.
This is called pig love juice.
He's talking about pigs, and I gave it a poke, and he says, I don't want to hear that.
And it was
solid.
This is great. One of the most exciting things, I think, when you go to the pig pen is when one of the hogs gets a little too horny, and he starts mounting everything. And I think it's the funniest thing in the
Please
world.
Please don't tell me you were in the...
No, I was not in the... But
I stuck my leg in.
What had happened was it started... And it mounted another male pig. And, of course, its member came out, and it was like, I don't know if you ever saw a pig's member, but it's really long and pencil thin, and it snakes around because I guess it's got some kind of funky muscle control. But, man, this pig was going to town, and he got so excited that when the climax came, it blew out all over the place. And this thing, it shot like an explosion, and it was raining down. I got some in my hair and everything. And I was standing like 10 feet away from this
thing.
I don't
want to know
this,
man.
It was freaky. But it was really freaky.
I'd be like running away screaming naked because I already shed my clothes. Ah!
And there was this woman who was walking by at the time, and she got more of it than I did.
Oh, man.
It just hit her square on, man. And she was like, you know, all covered. And I was laughing, and then we left. But that was the end of that. Now, that's, you know, the kids weren't there at that time because they weren't even born yet. But, yeah.
Ugh.
And all that action seems to happen during the day. At night, they're all laying around, and sometimes they're, you know.
Smoking cigarettes and being.
Yeah, right. It's afterwards, they're smoking his cigarettes.
But, yeah, the fair. And that's where they also have the computer show on sale. That's not true. At the fair, but once a month.
Egg Hall.
I hate that. I hate the computer show on sale.
Sometimes it's pretty good. Most of the time, it's really lame.
It depends on what you're looking for, I guess. If you're looking for something.
If you're looking for something, it's probably at every single booth.
Well, yeah. Probably. So you just have to find the cheapest, you know, where you can save that extra dollar.
Sure. And you know, a lot of it depends on how many languages you speak, too. Because, you know, I hear that if you can speak Russian or Chinese, you can get a better deal.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hate the show. Because you always run into people you don't want to see. at the show, and people you don't want to ever be seen around at the show.
Yeah.
And then people are ripping off people
out
at the show.
Discs one of these days.
Huh?
We should go passing up Nopix discs.
Yeah, we've always talked about having
him
a
going on. He's down got dicks too. Yeah,
you know, he's the pig thing flustered you, right? He's thinking, I'm been going down the Allentown Fair. I got to convince
what booth
Caroline
was that at, Dan?
Yeah, Caroline to get there during the day because that's when all the action's going on.
No. I don't like animals.
Yeah,
like
piggy.
Sweet.
I definitely don't like farm animals.
Now he likes the exotic stuff. You guys scare me, man.
So you got any news? I got some other news that's technology related.
What news? Oh, wait, I wanted to make a quick mention. Show related news. Duncan Sample, our buddy Duncan the man.
What?
You don't know who Duncan is? Duncan is the dude who set us up with a mirror.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Yeah, the guy is like number one in my book, man.
So now everybody in the world has three places to download the Pig Love Juice.
That's
story.
Right. They get three places to download that, and they can also have three places to download the Subway Guy story, the Hoagie Guy story, and all the rest of your fun stories.
The Hoagie Guy story.
Just, again, yes,
my friend got his nuts caught in the toilet seat.
Our friend Duncan Sample set us up with a mirror because we really needed a mirror. People are hammering my connection, man. And I don't have a fast internet connection, just a standard DSL. And you guys are beat the hell out of it. So for those of you people who persist and insist on downloading from me, please try and get the show from a mirror first.
Who's the other mirror?
And the other mirror is my buddy over in the UK.
Aren't they both over in the UK?
I don't know where Duncan. I think he is, but I'm not sure where it resides. His Duncan's website is at www.antimatters.homelinux.net /tildetechshow.
Ooh, we're all falling
asleep.
That's
where his mirror is, and that's it's a long URL. But you know, if you just go to the archives page, he's listed on there. And the other guy who's, you know, buddy of mine for a long time on another couple mailing lists graciously set us up with our first mirror, and his name is Dave Cantrell. And
Cantrell, yeah. Isn't that
he's a good guy, too.
Wasn't somebody Cantrell from a band?
I don't know.
Could be. I'm not.
Now, I'm not thinking of Kim Cattrall. I'm thinking of somebody Cantrell. Cantrell. Who Cantrell? The wife would know. Aaron!
He killed his wife.
Somebody
here we go. Trivia time. Time.
I think it was a band. A woman or man? Man, I think. Something
forget it.
Jerry, I don't know. She can name that tune in six notes.
Yeah, now, why right. am I yelling at her when I could just Google it on yeah. You know.
That opens yourself up for too many things right now. All right. Anyway. What else? Oh. One other. You guys have been sending us some cool emails lately. Keep it up. The other person that sent us an email recently was Tim Remo, who's been listening to our show for quite a while. And he wanted to know, and this is a good question for Alan, even though I answered him. He wants to know what the Linux port is like for the Nintendo GameCube.
Have
you done that one yet?
No, I don't have a GameCube.
You've done like which Dan ones have you one. Done?
I've done the Dreamcast.
Dreamcast
which
and
was
the,
sort of boring because
PlayStation
really,
2, right?
Yeah,
you did
the
that
PlayStation.
With you.
Who asked that?
Tim Remo wants to know. It's a couple days ago. Wants to know what
did that go to
Linux
you or the
is
tech
like.
Show?
Went to tech show. You don't pay attention, man. Well, see, that's it, folks. You send your email to me, I read them, right?
I don't remember
I read
that
them too,
one.
But I don't, wants I don't
to
remember
know.
That one either.
Yeah. How could
Alan reads read them too. He just doesn't remember. Reply. That's all.
You sure went to the tech show?
Yeah, man. From Tim Remo. He wants to know how Linux runs on a Nintendo GameCube. He's thinking about getting
a GameCube?
A CD. No, he's got a GameCube. He's thinking about getting some kind of CD for it. CD burner or CD something. running on. I don't know. I found some links on the net, and I sent the links off to them. Supposedly, it's supposed to run pretty good.
This month's Linux user and developer has an article about that. That's
right,
what
yeah. I don't know because you need
Linux
the
user.
Adapter.
That's the UK magazine. Linux
what are the UK
user,
magazine?
UK magazine.
Yeah,
you need the oversized UK magazine.
You need the broadband adapter to be able to do that, and then one of the broadband, the like fantasy Final Fantasy Online or something like that. I just skimmed that article because I saw it too because I didn't get a chance to really look at it. But I don't have the broadband adapter, so I don't really know how well it works. But if anybody out there is interested in giving it a whirl,
let us know. We want to hear about
one
it.
One of the things I want to know is that doesn't take standard size discs.
Right. He mentioned something about the 8mm discs or something like that. And he was going to... I think that's what he was talking about getting. He was talking about getting a drive that does those kind of discs or something, or burns those kind of discs.
Right.
Or
well, doesn't
something
a,
like
well,
that.
Won't
to load
a CD burner
on.
Do that? Most of the newer ones burn
I
the
couldn't tell
ones.
You, man.
Yeah, that one. The GameCube, I don't even have one, so I've never played around with it to know much about it. I was never a big Nintendo person.
Blasphemy.
Sorry,
how
I went,
dare you.
I went the PlayStation route myself.
You went the Xbox route recently.
Atari.
So.
I installed my Atari 2600.
I say, I did the Atari for a long time.
That was good stuff. Anyway.
No more need for more than 8 bits.
What else? Yeah. What are you going to do with all the rest of the bits anyway, right?
speaking of Cantrell, it was Jerry Cantrell.
Was it?
Yes. All those people burning to find out.
I feel much better now. I can breathe. Anyway.
Fantastic.
What else? What we got?
I got something.
We got dead air going on.
Alan, over there is the latest copy of MIT Review. No, that's not it. MIT Review had a fantastic... MIT Technology Review.
Underneath the Playboys.
Playgirls, get it right.
Yeah.
MIT's Magazine of Innovation Technology Review. It was the volume...
MIT Magazine. Wow.
Yeah, September 2004 copy. Interesting articles on here. One is on Miguel de Acasa. Is that it? Acasa? the Zimian guy.
Okay.
Is it still Zimian?
Yeah.
Zimian, what was it before Zimian? It was something else.
I don't know.
Oh, what was it before Zimian?
The little monkey thing. I can't remember what.
The monkey thing is Zimian. But it was something. It was called something before Zimian. Was it Helix, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
Helix,
it was.
Helix, Gnome, yeah. And Zimian.
Which is all owned by Novell now, right?
Right. Novell him and how, he's working with Novell. But there's an even more interesting article, I think. Well, it's equally interesting. An article on alternative to Windows, and this is a extremely favorable
alternatives to Windows. Do you think we would talk about something like that on this show?
Yeah,
will miracles never cease?
I'll tell you what.
The article's title actually is "Linux is finally offering Windows users a real choice." And what I found interesting about this article, of course, it says that Linux, open source. OpenOffice was another one, and I think Firefox is mentioned in here, really are now viable alternatives to running Windows and excellent choices. But what's neat is to actually read through here, and the mistakes in the article actually favor Linux.
Really?
You know how you go through
that never happens.
All these reviews, and somebody says you're running Linux on a desktop, and you go, well, that's wrong, he got that wrong, and he got that wrong, and that statistic's not right. One of the most glaring errors in statistics was this one. 67% of corporate web servers are Linux-based.
That would be really cool, but I don't think that's true.
Okay. Now, I think where he got it mixed up is about 67% of corporate web servers run Apache, which is open source.
I would say that about that many are Unix-based.
But they're not, not solely Linux-based.
Not Linux.
Yeah.
Unix, probably.
Some derivative
because,
of,
most really big corporations that run a lot of web services and stuff tend not to run Windows for web servers. they run on big Unix clusters and things like that, and most of those will run Apache, without a doubt, because Apache's, you know, good stuff.
And it's a really, it's a great article, and I'm glad to finally see an article like this.
Not that you can't run Apache on Windows
a magazine,
either, because
not at once in this article did he say to the likes of, oh, God, and then it was the install process was a bear, and well, we tried to get this thing to work or that thing to work. Basically, what the gist is, he went out and purchased a Walmart PC running Linspire, mm-hmm. brought it home, said set it up, and in a couple minutes, he was like 5 minutes, he was surfing the internet. He had access to the click and run packages. Everything was going great. It was a very positive review.
Outstanding.
So that's something to check out, you know?
Outstanding.
It's finally some good press outside of web-based.
Yeah.
NewsForge OS.
Hey,
News.
A couple other... well, I'll hold off on that announcement until you're ready to talk about Crux. But
okay.
You know, in the interim, why don't we do our it's about 26, 27 after. Why don't we do our interlude? Anyone for an interlude?
Why not?
Intertude.
La, 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 la.
Oh, this is we're gonna do the bit, the special bit.
No. This is the actual interlude music.
We're doing the interlude music? Why aren't we just going to play the bit?
Because we can play the bit afterwards.
We
have good interlude music this time. I actually got my crap together, right? And went out to archive.org, which is, you know, of course, all
of
you guys.
Tons of great music, huh?
Yeah. All you guys.
Tons of iffy music, too, but.
Should go out and check that out. And there are some... Sometimes you have to search. There's some really, really rancidly bad music on archive.org. But some of it there is really class A good stuff. And so I spent just a couple of minutes and checked it out and found some that looked really good. And if I can pull here we go. I pull the XML up so I can tell you who it is. This particular piece is called Tangent, and it's three guys, I guess, three friends just playing their guitars together. Really, really fantastic. Written and performed by Matthew Boudreau, John Hill, and Doug Riley. This, again, is Tangent. Thank you.
In a world still hostile to open source, where tech radio shows are all about that other operating system, three maverick groups decided to go for the gold.
Hey, 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 we are here at episode...
This is episode 4.
Episode 4.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit harsh. So, yes.
The introduction gets sadder and sadder and sadder.
Oh, my God. Woo!
From the C programmers, we started zero.
Really, really close to them.
Mike again, just to kill us all.
Anyway. Now, yeah, two shows are missing. www.thugradio.org.
Can't find the server. No!
Where's that episode 5 of Slug Radio?
Why?
This fall, take a journey with the boys from the Tech Show across oceans and continents.
Attention all passengers.
Flight drop your pants and grab your ankles.
Now boarding.
Damn, that's a big finger.
Oh, gotta love that Homeland Security.
To find and rescue the missing shows.
Hello? Slug Radio?
Slug Radio?
What they find will shock you.
Damn! That's a lot of bottles.
You hear that?
What?
Sounds like thunder.
Yeah. What is it?
Be prepared to be blown to the back wall of your computer room.
Holy shit! It's Mozilla!
Linux Link Studios presents a Screaming Little Girls production. Alan Metzler.
What's that smell?
Link Pheasanton.
Hurry! Put it in there!
And Dan Washko.
Woo! Doggy! Get over here, Alan, you sweet pie.
Fight the big lizard in Mozilla X, the Linux Link Tech Show. Mega knockout big battle for missing Slug Radio and Slug Radio shows. One man will stink.
Oh, Dan caught one.
I got another. Quick, let me know. We'll hit this lizard with the ass cannon.
And two men will find a special kind of love. Will you two get a room? And three men will find the shocking truth behind it all.
Quick, to the blogs!
Come on, Alan! Get moving!
It's not a new month yet!
But will they find Lug and Slug Radio?
Mozilla X, the Linux Link Tech Show. Mega knockout big battle for missing Lug and Slug Radio shows. Coming soon.
Hey, maybe they're in here. Will you two get a room already?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's good.
Good stuff, man.
The
good.
Big bit.
I had no clue what you were coming up with when you had us record those bits. I'm trying to put like stuff together in my head, and I just couldn't figure out what the hell you were going to do with it.
Yeah, that was a brainstorm when I was running. One of my early morning runs, I'm like, oh, what if we went to find where the Lug and Slug Radio shows really disappeared to? And then I'm like, well, what if we, what would we have to do? Oh, well, we could fight Mozilla. What if Mozilla kidnapped? You know, it's stuff like that. Build it like man. A cheap Japanese flick. And you know, that
it was good though, man.
It took
really
took a lot of time.
You had a lot of mixing in there, I get that.
Yeah, it was. It got to be hard. I mean, you know, trying to mix all that stuff together and working with Audacity and Resound, got to really learn how to use those applications a little better. What I didn't like about Resound, I mean, I like Resound a lot, but when you try and add additional channels, whenever you put a piece of the music in, it copies it to all the channels.
Yep.
Where in Audacity, you can add additional channels, and you could just have like...
It just becomes a
little,
channel.
Yeah, a little piece of music in the channel.
Mm-hmm.
You can import the audio and import it directly into a new channel, so it's a lot easier to move the stuff around and build clips off of that way. So you can, like, I'd take what you were saying and then what Link was saying and then space them out appropriately and be able to adjust the audio level on either channel.
Yeah, because you can do that right off that channel.
Right.
You just pull the dBs up and down on that.
Yeah, so it's I think overall, for editing purposes, Audacity is a lot easier to use, but Resound has a ton of plugins.
See, now I'm finding it exactly the opposite. When I'm doing, I'm still mixing a bunch of stuff for our 50th show, which is coming up in 2 weeks, our one year anniversary.
Right.
And I'm finding that I actually prefer working mostly in Resound instead of Audacity. Perhaps I need to play with Audacity a little bit more. But
I like recording in Resound a lot better.
See, now I like recording in Audacity. But
It's like the dude walking down the street with a chocolate and the other guy with a peanut butter. You smack into each other and then you got Reese's.
I'll tell you what. I don't think that I could do it without using both programs, though. Like, I use both programs for it. And I like having both of them at my disposal. They make a good combination.
Uh-huh.
But, you know.
Now, I use Resound for resampling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I pulled off all the archive shows.
Right.
Pulled them all together because I'm listening through them all again to pull out stuff and get some ideas for our anniversary. And I found a couple of shows were giving me funky ALSA errors.
Right.
So I pulled them into Resound and I resampled them, and they run perfect now.
Cool.
So, a lot of fun, those audio applications.
Good stuff.
Great stuff. Yeah.
And it's something fun, you know, it's been for the last few days, the stuff that I've been, a few days I've been working on, it's already got like 5.5 minutes worth of stuff, but...
So I hope you enjoyed the Mozilla XTLL, the Linux Link Tech Show. We'll have more bits coming up.
Yeah.
I got some ideas.
You know what? It's time for Alan to come up with some stuff. That's what it is.
Lazy bum.
Come on, I'll try it.
On my computer desk downloading his damn patches.
Something.
The only reason why he's here. No,
I haven't downloaded a patch on this machine in a while. For you.
I don't know if that's a good thing because a couple of patches came out recently.
Well, no, I get them at home. I haven't done them here.
Nah, he's backpedaling. Oh, anyway, I got some more ideas, and I think what we need to do.
If you want, I can start a soiree.
Do whatever you want. We should actually work a little more closely together on some of these projects. I learned that as I was halfway through doing that bit. I'm thinking, you know, if I was just had you guys in at the ground floor, I think it could have come out a lot better. It would have been a lot easier to get your lines because you would know exactly what the context would be.
Right. Yeah, mine were slightly out there because I had no clue what you were doing.
So next time, you know, with the stuff, a couple other scripts I'm putting together.
That and my wife's we'll standing
share them
in
between
the door.
Each other. What?
My wife was standing in the door. I go, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah. When I had to record that, the holy.
Who are you talking to, Alan?
Yeah. Exactly.
When I had to record the holy shit line, I'm like trying to figure out a good time to do this when the kids are not around, but my window's always open, and like all the neighbors are just going to hear me screaming. And at first I did a holy crap, but then I threw
holy
up a caution
shit
to the window.
Woo.
I threw all caution to the window. I let the shirt vulgarity fly.
She used to do the same thing when I was on ham radio. When I would talk on that, she'd be like, "Who are you talking to?" I'm like, "Just leave me alone. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. when I need you, I'll call."
Yeah. So what Alan said.
Yeah. We'll probably make all our bits downloadable from the webpage.
Yeah, what Dan said.
When, you know, so if you want to hear them outside of the show, if you missed it or you want to pass it on to somebody, hey, go have fun. All the sound effects I got off the web from those free sound effects sites, which is nice. The bottles were the hardest ones. I had to collect so many different sound effects and try and mix them together. Because you didn't have any bottles in your recycling bin. And
nope.
I didn't have any way to record the bottles that I had before I ended up throwing them all out. Well, that was the end of that. And then trying to get a Godzilla stomp, it was like four different thundercloud sound effects mixed together. It was like, oh. And I said to myself, you know, I could just rip the sound off of the Blue Oyster Cult live CD, but that would be illegal. In fact, I even thought about using the opening to Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, fair use would allow me to use it for 10 seconds. It's a non-commercial purpose. I might be able to get away with it, but then, that, you know, just go with Creative Commons licensed music.
Why bother? We can do it some other way.
And I think it turned out fairly well.
Oh, it's awesome.
You know,
good stuff.
And if you guys, you want to do some stuff out there, send it in to us. We'll definitely air it. Well,
yeah.
Who did El Matey?
Now, class, what did we learn about today?
Yeah, that was the wrong one. That's my wife, by the way.
Yeah.
No, wait, the Matey one. Let me find the Matey one.
Who did that?
I
wrote it. It's, you know, I have it.
Arr, Matey, this is the Captain Long John Linux, and I be riding the high seas, looking for the old buggy tub, Microsoft. And if I ever find ye arch nemesis Bill Gates, arr, I'll be breaking me wooden peg leg off on his poop deck. Arr, Matey.
Break it up in his poop deck, baby.
I like that one a lot. I really screwed up last week.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody actually listens to the Linux Link stream, but I forgot to put the Lug and Slug radios on the stream.
Well, it's not like everybody hasn't heard them for the last 4 months, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's some news for you guys, like Slug Radio and Lug Radio. You need to start up again. It's September now.
Well, we got to go find them.
Didn't they say they were coming back in September?
Yeah.
They said they were coming back in September. It is now September 1st. Where's your show? Where's your show? It's September. Do a show. Don't be a pisser and, like, you know, drop off the face of the earth. They see that the Lug Radio's website is still down.
Yeah, I was just looking at, I was like thinking to myself,
that's been
maybe
a couple
that, yeah,
of weeks, right?
I wonder if that's, if the bit's actually going to work. Maybe they actually released something today, but no, they didn't, unfortunately.
Is the website still down? I looked a couple
couldn't
days
get
ago,
to
and
I couldn't
get to
it today.
So, dudes, I mean, come on, you know? We're
back.
Counting on you for our...
Come back, please.
That's right. We're counting on you for our open source stream entertainment. And there's a lot of your listeners also out on the, you know, out on the web here and there and everywhere.
Drink all the beer and fall asleep.
Yeah. Who go along with us in saying that you guys really need to, you know, step up to the plate and record a couple more shows and make sure that we get a hold of them.
Okay, El Matey was done by Dale Marinenko.
Yes,
fantastic.
Dale Marinenko.
I love it. That's great.
That's right.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, the more you know, in all fairness, it might sound like it's tough to do these little bits and stuff like that, but it's a lot of fun. So, you know, if you can get a little cheap junk microphone, plug it in the back of your Linux sound card, cut something up real quick and, you know, send it out to us.
Well, your wife's complaining. She wants you to play her whole bit.
Play her whole bit. Okay, this is my wife's whole bit.
My name's Michelle, and I listen to the Linux Link Tech...
Just kidding. No, I'll play it.
My name's Michelle, and I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show because they make me.
No, wait. That's the wrong bit, I think, isn't it?
Oh, do you want the other one?
Yeah.
The one educational
with
one.
With my your wife
with
and
your
my
daughter. She's so cute.
Now, class, what did we learn about today?
Tech Show! Tech Show!
And what do we do with the Tech Show, children?
Listen, damn it.
And who's your favorite Tech Show host?
Rick.
You heard it here first, folks.
Very good, class.
That's right, children. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and get your Linux education on the Linux Link Tech Show.
See, and with using tools like Audacity, you can cut together audio to make your ego get a little bigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, I didn't force your daughter into saying that she liked me better. It just happened naturally.
It just happened the way you spliced the audio clip together. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, anyway, so we can get to your, since we're running out of time, we need to get to your
Crux.
Little topic of Crux. But I wanted to mention right before you started talking about Crux, I saw three announcements in this past week about Linux PPC. One, Mandrake 9.1, I guess, has been released for PPC. Released freely. I guess you can download it at this point in time. You know, like Mandrake has this thing where you have to sign up for the little Anyway, I guess you can actually download it off BitTorrent or something like that. Mandrake 9.1 for PPC. And then I heard about Yellow Dog 4.0 is in RC2 right now. So that's on the way, on the fast track to getting a glass copy burnt. And Yellow Dog 4.0 will be out for the masses very, very soon.
Cool.
And then I also found out that Mandrake 10.1, I think it is, for PPC is is it an RC1 now or something like that? It's in pre-release alpha or beta or something like that. So that's coming out real soon, too. And then I also heard, you know, Dan was telling me that he did the whole Crux thing for his PPC. Right?
Damn right I did. And I wrote in my blog, it's finally a PPC distribution I like. Crux, I think, is fantastic. It is a minimal type of distribution, very slim install. And right out of the box, now I'm doing, I think it's 132. And it installed, actually, the package is installed in under 10 minutes. That's how fast it was to get this on here. The hardest part, not going to say it's the hardest part, but the longest part was it's one of those where you compile your own kernel right off the bat. If you want to. I'm sure you could use a kernel off the CD. That wouldn't be a problem, but I compiled my own kernel.
Right.
And now, the documentation for the PPC is kind of sparse, that it expects you to have some kind of understanding of... It's not a newbie-type system. All right, first off. Now, you know, if you're a Slackware user, going to Crux is not going to be that difficult. If you are a Gentoo user, going to Crux is going to be a piece of cake. Because if you install Gentoo on a PPC, then you're going to be well ahead of the ball for Crux. Because it's almost like the same path, but you're not compiling everything from source.
Uh-huh. Now, when you said you had all the packages on there in 10 minutes, is that like an entire base install, like X was on there and everything?
Everything was on there.
That's not
bad. It actually was less than 10 minutes ago. I was surprised how fast it dropped down.
And that's minus it of course, didn't include any of the big desktop environment.
No, it comes with Googlies. Window Maker. The window manager it comes with. It does have Firefox version 8.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is the... I think they're right on the cusp of releasing 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Which is using the 2.6 kernel. Now, Crux for x86 is already on 2.0.
Right.
2.x or whatever it is right now. But on the PPC, the 2.whatever wasn't available. Now, again, the hardest part I had, and I kind of cheated, because I copied over my kernel config file from Gentoo, and then I copied over my yaboot.com from Gentoo. Just to make it easier, so I didn't have to repeat all the information. But I didn't copy my X11 config, which is what threw me at first. On a PPC, the mouse device is not like dev PSAUX. There's no PS2 port.
Right.
So, and, you know, and I wasn't using USB. It's actually dev input mice. Is what it is.
Depending on the distribution.
Yeah, yep. And this is what this one uses. So that plus getting the NVIDIA frame buffer threw me for a little bit. And then, of course, I decided to start messing around with installing some more software on here. And like Gentoo, you're doing a lot of software installs from source. I haven't found a lot of package mirrors for PPC, so I wanted to get the GIMP on here. And, of course, I wanted all the bells and whistles with the GIMP, so I had installed the prerequisites, which means I'm about 3/4 of the way to GNOME already. GNOME, sorry. And so as I'm installing the packages, I'm thinking to myself, you know, why don't I just make packages also? Because it's a lot easier to remove a package than it is to try and recompile or reconfigure the source to remove the source with a make uninstall. And I actually found that some of the stuff I compiled and installed
didn't.
Well,
it's also
going
to help me out a whole lot after you make all the packages, yeah. And I decide to switch to Crux,
just go over there.
Doesn't have a make uninstall.
When Alan and I switch over to Crux, we already got all that stuff, right?
So I'm in the process right now of installing all the extra software. It's easy to make a package. It's a simple script. Documentation's on their handbook. Really simple. Really fun. It's a distribution. I like it a lot because I have a lot of control over it, but yet at the same time, I don't find it as busy as Gen 2 was.
Right, because you already have a base system that, you know, is
right.
functional.
And I could have. I think the biggest difference between Gen 2 and, like, why I'd prefer Slackware. Now, I could do a Slackware from scratch install if I wanted to.
Right.
The packaging system, when you actually look at it for Slackware and for Crux, is basically the compiled thing tarred up. The binary and everything.
Except for Slackware has a description file, right?
Right. Yeah. Essentially, they're the same thing, so it just untars it and into the root directory, and it goes where it goes, depending on how it was configured. So I kind of like that. It makes it really easy, really flexible. When I do an install from the sources, I actually am more compelled to read the install file and the README files and documentation that come with it to understand how to actually compile it, what needs to go where, what the parameters are, whether there's extra configuration files I need to be aware of. Whereas with Gen 2, I was kind of more concerned about doing emerge and the name of the file and, you know, hoping it emerged fine.
Right.
And then you get you get warnings afterwards and said, well, you need to update certain files in your Etsy directory, or if you remove the package, it'd be like, well, 40 files need to be updated in your Etsy directory. Read the manual on how to do it, and you're like, you know, dang, you know, what the heck? What do I need to do? What do I need to go in and get rid of? You know, you start digging through there trying to find some files, and I thought that was a little too busy for me.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to, you know, I don't know. That's just me. Now, I love Gen 2. I still like Gen 2. I think
I
it's a great distribution.
I have my own problems with Gen 2, I think.
But
I want to try Gen 2 on x86 platform. Something that, you know, like the packages are a little bit more, the packages, I guess, are a little bit more stable and stuff like that. My big problem was, like, PPC seems to be a tough architecture to get stuff running on to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Hands off.
Anything
hands
other up. Than, yeah, you know, anything other than
Yellow
Mac
Dog
OS.
Guys, man.
Yellow Dog's
fantastic.
Got it down,
got
man.
Great, but it's hard to get other stuff on there. If it's not a Yellow Dog package, sometimes it's hard to get
stuff on. No, it's not really. When you run Yellow Dog, you have the Yellow Dog packages, which work, you know, pretty much flawlessly. There's also the Mandrake Cooker packages, which work really, really well with Yellow Dog too. Another RPM-based thing.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you can put many, many, many of the Mandrake Cooker packages can snap right in to Yellow Dog. Will just load right up and work. And there's also the PLD packages, Polish Linux Distribution, or something like that. It's a third type of PPC package that you can also snap in and run under Yellow Dog. And I've done all three of them and gotten all three of them to work. So
I was talking about compiling from source.
Well, you can compile
and compiling
under Yellow Dog.
A custom kernel.
I don't know about
Yellow
a kernel.
Dog.
I haven't tried a kernel yet. So that would be all
thing.
You. But
multiple form thing.
I mean, I've done my share of kernel. Yeah. I have done my share
of kernel
compiling under Gen 2 for PPC. I think I did that like 70 or 80 times. That's enough to last me quite a while, you know?
It's got to be at least two or three shows since Dan's last compiled a kernel during it.
No, I compiled the kernel. Oh, during the show.
Yeah, during the show.
During the show.
Because I compiled the kernel on Friday night two times. Yeah, twice.
Dude, was that Crux you were working on then?
Yeah. What did I do? Oh, I know what it was. I compiled the kernel, and then I'm like, you know, I think when I compiled it, I turned off Riser FS, and that's what I made my root partition was Riser file system. There's no way it was going to boot properly. I had to go back and recompile it again. Dun, dun, dun. But Crux, I really like it. It's something to check out, particularly with the PPC. Fun stuff. Fun. I've not been that excited over distribution since Slackware. Although I said
Except
that with Gen 2 also.
Build all the, you're having problems building the GNOME.
I'm not really having problems. I mean, the problems build sometimes with the when there's two ways that you could do the package creation. It's one using their package utility, and sometimes that doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Or you can do a make install into a build directory
right.
by providing a prefix and the path to the build directory. And I found that sometimes an application doesn't really want to install like that. It gets a little cranky, particularly if it's looking for existing files or if it's looking to drop something into an existing directory. So I found that out. But I've gotten around a lot of that stuff, and hoo-ha-ha, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It works.
So what have we tried on Collective? And it's a really interesting statistic, right? That all three of us here actually run Linux on PPC. You know, I've got like three PPCs. Two of them are in the closet, but, you know.
They still haven't come out yet.
There's
huh?
an 8500 and a 9600. They're hanging out in the closet. I don't have any place to put them. I would love to start them up and use them as a web server or something. And I've got a blue and white G3 that I run Yellow Dog on now that I have run other stuff on. You've got the
iMac is running
Lime iMac, right?
Yeah, that's running.
It's a sexy looking iMac too, man.
And the laptop I have is running Debian.
Yellow Dog. What version of Yellow Dog you running?
The 301, I think it is.
Yeah,
did you get it from Link?
I'm running 3.2.
Yeah, it's the one we got from you.
Yep.
That one that's sitting right over there.
Yellow Dog 3, good stuff. And you're running, what, Debian, you said, on the other one?
Yeah, the laptop has Debian on it. Although I got to get that one out and actually fire it up and update it, because I haven't fired that one up in like 6 months or so.
I'm running Yellow Dog on mine. I did run Debian and Gentoo.
The laptop needs more memory.
Yellow Dog,
Gentoo,
and Crux.
And you've run Yellow Dog, Gentoo, and you're on Crux now. But we still, you know. And I like currently, you know, you currently, of course, Dan's laptop is his PPC, and he uses that all the time. And I have my blue and white G3. That's my secondary workstation, so I use that all the time. And from what I understand, you use your iMac pretty good, too,
yeah,
don't you?
My wife uses that one all the time.
There you go.
Because I won't let her use the laptop. But
so it's not like, you know, it's not like the Linux PPC isn't usable or anything. Like we all
use
mine all the time.
The Yellow Dog stuff, I mean, it's just a regular distribution.
Yeah. It works really good. The only problem I ever had with Yellow Dog is I wanted to get a different sound card working under Yellow Dog. Once I convinced myself that, you know, that just wasn't going to happen without some kind of major freaking, you know.
Major blessing there.
Yeah, some, you know, some kind of thing. That and a whole lot of money to throw at somebody or something. I just consigned myself to popping the distribution that actually worked best on it, which was Yellow Dog, and using it. And it's pretty good. Yeah.
No,
I might just try
today.
That Crux thing, though, because you know, anything that can speed it up a little bit would help.
I know what I was thinking about today. I was thinking about, you know, Linux on the desktop and the auto mount file system. What is it? Auto FS? Like, if you pop a CD or a disk in there, and some of the more bulkier distributions have auto FS configured, and you click on the icon and it'll mount it automatically. I was thinking, you know, in the Windows world, you don't have to mount anything, but you can pull something out and ruin it.
That's
or
right.
mess it up. Now I was thinking, you know, I always complained about Apple and the auto, you know, the eject the CD disk thing. But then I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of a good idea when you think
because
about it.
Because they make sure that it's
right. You're not
sure
going to get that
done right.
Except when it breaks down and it doesn't work properly, then it's not such a good idea. But I was thinking, if you go and eject, because it forces you to mount and or. Not just to mount it, but to dismount it properly.
Sure.
And it's not going to dismount until it's done copying. With an auto FS, or with a floppy disk in general, you can...
As soon as you hit the button,
you can pop that right out of there, even if it's mounted in whatever distribution you're running. But, hey, what are you going to do? Just a thought, just thinking about it.
You know what's really cool, though? Like, we're about wound down to nothing here, and it's actually on time for once.
Yeah, no, we got
that never happens, man.
We got to clarify something.
That never happens.
To our
you have to clarify the GPL stuff.
Yes, clarify the GPL stuff because we did get an email from Martin. No, that's not who it was from. Was it?
Dun, 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 dun.
Ah, yeah, Martin Bar. Is it B? A-H-R, is it with a...
Bear, bar, something like that. Bear. Sorry if we screwed your name up, but it's Martin...
It's got something. The... what is that? It's not an umlaut, but the two dots at the top of the A. What's the pronunciation of that? Anyway.
It's the American version of it. Is good. He's got the B-A-H-R, and the A has the little two dotty things up above it. What you call them, we're not really sure. Sorry, man.
Way to butcher him. He wrote in and said to us that, I guess in response, because I listened to the show, and I heard it too, where Link said about you can't charge somebody for that, and I don't know if maybe it wasn't your intention or whatever, but yeah, you can, like if a company has some open as GPL software and they want one to modify it, they can hire a developer to modify that code, alright, so yeah, you can charge them to modify the code. Now, the GPL requires that developer provide you, once upon changing the code and distributing it, which is what that developer would be doing, he has to provide you with the code. He or she is required to provide you with the code. Now, the company, they don't have to then release that code to anybody else. All right, but they can do whatever they want with the code. They want to release it to the general public, that's up to them. You know, and the developer is not required to release the code to the public. He could just, because he distributed it to that company, and according to GPL, he is required to give them the source code and his changes. Now, the company can then do whatever they want with that. If they want to distribute it, that's up to them. But if they sell it, they have to make the source code available.
Right.
To the people who purchase it.
Precisely.
They get the source code. Now, that person who purchases it, now say a company A sells it, and the person who purchases it gets the source code and is able to do what they want with the source code then, so they can just give it all away at their if they want to.
Right.
So, but, yeah, you can make money in free software.
Sure.
With the developmental purposes. Now, I looked further into the GPL this week, today primarily, because I was working on the bit, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get the research of the GPL in by the time the show is? And I didn't. I got through the regular GPL, and I'm working on the lesser GPL, which is a whole other animal and not as straightforward, I'm finding, as the GPL, which the GPL gives you four rights.
Right.
The right to use the software, the right to make changes to the software, which requires that you have the right to the source code, the right to distribute the software however you want, and then what's the fourth right? What right am I missing there? You can distribute, you can use, you can change, but the requirement is that at all those levels, if you're going to distribute it, you have to provide the source code, and if you make changes, you have to document your changes.
Right.
And you cannot make any additional restrictions upon the source code and the software.
Right.
That if it's under the GPL,
can't change a license.
You can't change a license. You can't put any more restrictions on there. Now, if you want to take it and change it for your own needs, you don't have to distribute it.
That's right. If you don't distribute it, you can do whatever the hell you want with it.
But if you distribute it, you must, absolutely must provide the source code.
Mm-hmm.
Now, provide the source code.
Not the original source code.
Right.
Your
changes plus the original source code with your changes in it and your documented changes. But the recipient of your application is entitled to the source code and the changes that you've made.
Right.
You don't have to give it to them directly, but if they ask for it, you need to provide it for up to 3 years. But I guess the benefit of releasing it to the public then would be if you made changes to it, you would be able to give back to the community on one hand.
Certainly.
But on the other hand, the community would also be able to give back to you. They would have the ability to look at your source, your code, and maybe make additions or changes, or maybe it will get incorporated into the project. If it's out there and it's something that gets incorporated in a project, there's less of a chance that later on down the line they're going to make changes to the extent that it's going to break the additions that you have made. And then that company has the opportunity to still work with you to expand the application later on down the line. And then next week we'll talk about the lesser GPL.
Dum-dum-dum. So that's it then, huh?
I think we talked about Crux. We talked about, we did the beat.
The bit.
The bit. And we're down two more shows?
Yep.
No, one more show.
Two.
More. No.
Wait, this right here is show 48.
And then 49.
Show 49 next week, and 50 is our 1-year anniversary.
Right, so we have 2 weeks.
2 weeks for Alan to get his crap together and start sending me stuff for our anniversary bit that I'm working on. Otherwise, what we're going to do for the 50th show is we're all going to drive some nails through 2x4s, and we're going over to Alan's house to beat him in the middle of the night. We'll tape it for you.
Cool. Be that video that everyone requests.
Yeah, right. All right, everybody. Listen, thanks for sticking around with us for so long, listening to the show, listening to all the shows, sending us all the cool emails and feedback that you give us, and the listening bits, those of you who have sent in, you know, little clips and stuff like that. We've had a few of you do that. Hey, everybody, go do that now. Make something, send it in. We really like that stuff. We'll play it on the air. If you send us emails and it's good stuff and stuff that we need to reply to on air, boy, we'll do that too. Again, thanks for hanging out with us and listening to show number 48. Make sure you come back next week on Wednesday and catch us on 49. I'm Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan.
Good night.
Good night.
Pulling a flink tech show. Pulling a flink tech show.